Topic 72, Externalization of the Hierarchy. 1. The tests for the first initiation, as far as humanity, the world disciple, is concerned, are well nigh over, and the hour of the birth of the Christ, as an expression of the fourth kingdom in nature, and the consummation of the work of the fourth creative hierarchy, is at hand. This there is no gainsaying. The birth hour may be long, and the form may be in labor for much of the time, but the Christ will be born, and the nature of the Christ and his consciousness will permeate and color all human affairs. It is this condition, so imminent and so desirable and long foretold and anticipated, which will make possible the return of the hierarchy and the restoration of the mysteries. These occurrences are not only dependent upon the fitness of humanity to provide the right setting and upon the inevitability of evolutionary development itself, but the reappearance of the hierarchy and that which its members will accomplish is related also and primarily to the interior life and the spiritual impulses within the hierarchy itself and unrelated to mankind altogether. The hierarchy pursues its own line of spiritual unfoldment as a paralleling activity to its services on earth in connection with planetary evolution. Men are so apt to regard their own lives and destiny and the unfoldment of the human consciousness as the factor of only and paramount importance upon earth and in the evolutionary processes of the planet. These conditions are of importance, but they are not the only factors of importance, nor does humanity stand alone and isolated. Humanity occupies a midway point between the subhuman and the superhuman kingdoms, and each of these groups of evolving lives has its own important destiny, important to all contained within the group Ring Pass Not. They have their own chosen and differing modes, methods, and ways of achievement. Just as individual man has to learn the art of the science of relationship to other men and to his environment, so humanity as a whole has to learn its relationship to that which lies above and beyond mankind, and with that which is below and left behind. This involves a sense of proportion which can be attained only by the mind principle in man, and by those who are beginning to be mentally polarized. This sense of proportion will reveal to men their place upon the ladder of evolution and lead them to the recognition of the special destiny and unique goals of other kingdoms in nature, including the fifth kingdom, the kingdom of God, the spiritual hierarchy of our planet. The hierarchy is itself also at a point of spiritual crisis. Its initiates stand before the door which leads to the way of the higher evolution, and the entire personnel of the hierarchy awaits to make a united move forward, paralleling on its own level the move forward which humanity is also destined to make. But, my brothers, here is the point of interest. Under the great law of synthetic expression, called by us the law of synthesis, the law governing the first divine aspect, the hierarchy must move forward in such a manner that the effort must encompass the physical plane as well as the higher planes. The activity engineered must cover the three worlds of the spiritual triad. Forget not the overlapping of these two worlds, which takes place upon the mental plane and warrants the well-known phrase, the five worlds of superhuman evolution. Hence, therefore, the necessity for the externalization of the hierarchy and the demonstration of their united ability to work from the physical plane up to the highest in order to move unitedly through this door on to the way. Speaking symbolically, this externalization is for the members of the hierarchy an act of sacrificial service, but it is also a symbolic gesture. The hierarchy incarnates on earth again, and for the first time since its last incarnation in Atlantean days. It is, however, a group incarnation and not the incarnation of individual members. This is probably a subtle point, too difficult for you to grasp. The externalization of the hierarchy, therefore, and the restoration of the mysteries are not something done for humanity or simply carried out because men have earned a closer contact, have the right to some reward, or are now so spiritual that the hierarchy can have a good and useful time helping them. The picture is entirely different. What looms with such importance in the consciousness of men is, in reality, quite secondary in relation to the hierarchical crisis which we are considering. This reappearance on the physical plane and the consequent life of service involving factors of profound significance to men are an expression of the inherent spiritual impulse which is impelling hierarchical action in two directions, but involving one unified movement, embracing all the five planes of superhuman evolution, and necessitating a group recapitulation of incarnated process. The hierarchy has its own life, and its own goals and objectives, its own evolutionary rhythm, and its own spiritual expansions. These are not the same as those of the human kingdom. These goals and rhythms will become more familiar to thinking men as the hierarchy approaches closer to the physical plane. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, pages 333 through 335. 2. We are working and living in the initial stages of the period wherein preparation is being made for the emergence of the hierarchy into the world of men. The emergence is at present purely on the mental levels, but when the thought form of exoteric existence is created by humanity itself, and the evocative cry is intense enough, then the great ashram will slowly make its appearance upon the physical plane. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 382. 3. In the meantime, the hierarchy is orienting itself to a much closer rapport with humanity and to an interior reorganization which will make it possible to admit disciples in large numbers into the great ashram. From A Treatise on the Seven Rays, Volume 5, The Rays and the Initiations, page 383. 4. The members of the hierarchy are already one by one entering into outer activity upon the physical plane. They are not recognized for what they are, but they go about the Father's business, demonstrating goodwill, seeking to enlarge the horizon of humanity, and thus prepare the way for the one whom they serve, the Christ, the master of all the masters, and the teacher alike of angels and men. From The Reappearance of the Christ, page 170. 5. Two things must be realized as the interested student considers this event of externalization. 1. The senior members of the hierarchy will not at first be the ones who will make the needed approach. Under their direction and their close supervision, this approach will be made in the early stages by initiates of and under the degree of the third initiation, and also by those disciples who will be chosen and designated to implement their efforts, and so will work under their direction. It is only in the later stages, and when the time has come for the return into recognized physical expression of the Christ, leading to the definite restoration of the mysteries, that certain of the senior members of the hierarchy will appear and take outer and recognizable physical control of world affairs. The time for this will be dependent necessarily upon the success of the steps taken by the members of the hierarchy who are not so advanced. 2. Members of the hierarchy, whether working in the early stages or later when the true externalization takes place, will work as members of the human family and not as proclaimed members of the kingdom of God or of souls known to us as the hierarchy. They will appear in office of some kind or another. They will be the current politicians, businessmen, financiers, religious teachers, or churchmen. They will be scientists and philosophers, college professors, and educators. They will be the mayors of cities and the custodians of all public ethical movements. The spiritual forcefulness of their lives, their clear, pure wisdom, the sanity and the modern acceptableness of their proposed measures in any department in which they choose to function will be so convincing that little impediment will be set in the way of their undertakings. From The Externalization of the Hierarchy, page 570. 6. The externalized ashrams will be active along four major lines. 1. Creating and vitalizing the new world religion. 2. The gradual reorganizing of the social order, an order free from oppression, the persecution of minorities, materialism, and pride. 3. The public inauguration of the system of initiation. This will involve the growth and comprehension of symbolism. 4. The exoteric training of disciples and of humanity in this new cycle. From The Externalization of the Hierarchy, page 700. See also Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 2, pages 408 through 411.